Sippin' on the Beach, the only place to read your emails and tweets. It's Thursday, June 18th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Hey, yo.
Yo, the international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last but not least, making the magic happen is J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Keep your questions coming in, guys. Email us nodunks@theathletic.com. Or tweet them in at NoDunksInc or use that hashtag NoDunks before we get to our first email. I want to make sure all of y'all out there have listened and checked out the podcast we've dropped this week. We've had some beauties. On Tuesday, we talked with the Ringer's Dan Devine, did a deep dive on the eight teams not headed to Disney to play out the rest of the season. He was fantastic. On Wednesday, we discussed the NBA's extensive health and safety memo ahead of resuming play at Disney World. Biggest takeaways, biggest concerns, why Lee was going to book the Red Hot Chili Peppers to come in and do a live show.
So I think that'd be a great gig for sure.
And then later on Wednesday afternoon, we posted it. Trey had an awesome one-on-one interview with Disney expert Carly Wiesel. Really recommend you check that one out. She was great. She knows her stuff when it comes to Disney World. So it was talking about the hotels and possible setup where, yeah, there might be, you know, paying park customers, guests there in or around some of those hotels where the NBA players are. Really great stuff. So
speaking of hotels, Skeets, which one are you choosing to stay in? You want the fancy one, the Destino? You want the iconic one, the Floridian? Or the chill one, the Yacht Club?
I think I want the Yacht Club. I want to chill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want to be on the water, you know?
And that's exactly right.
Do they play yacht music, too?
It's an exclusively yacht rock playlist, I would imagine.
I would hope so. So go check out those, especially those three podcasts from this week. All really fun stuff. All right, let's do it.
What is up, No Chunkers? On last week's NBA Predictions pod, Lee was not into skinny Jokic and seemed to really lean into the benefit of having some extra padding. Lee was really trying to come up with someone who got worse by getting more fit. It didn't come up with the obvious choice. As a longtime Wolves fan, I cannot allow you to forget the sheer dominance of thick Kevin Love. I distinctly remember a game in the 2010-11 season where thick Kev went for 31 points, 31 boards. I was a wee high schooler during that season, but this was the craziest stat line my meager mind could possibly handle. I was convinced Love was our next Kevin Garnett and was about to drag our franchise to the finals, peppering in more 30-30 games along the way. Now, Kevin had a lot of good games, but my perception was certainly inflated. So my question for you guys, has a single performance ever given you way too high of an opinion of a player? I'll give you a couple of my favorites as a Timberwolves fan. Corey Brewer, 51 points in 2014, and Mo Williams, 52 points in 2015. I don't have a clever sign-off. That's from Matt M. Lee, why don't you get this started? Since Nikola Jokic lost a lot of weight, it appears, during the hiatus here. He was still pretty fit when he finished, but now he's skinny Jokic.
Yeah, and also that, you know, Corey Brewer and Mo Williams, both of those two weird 50-point guys in Minnesota. So something about if you want to go to, if you want to go to get a 50-point game, go to Minnesota. But the answer for me is I'm going to Game 6, 2001 Raptors Sixers. You obviously remember that series. That's when the Raptors and Philadelphia had that incredible series. Now, it's not Vince Carter who was great. It's Mo Pete, who had been up and down in the playoffs. And he was in the starting lineup, and then he was on the bench. And Lenny Wilkins put him back into the starting lineup for Game 6, and he had 17 points and 7 assists. Now, not huge numbers, but at the start of the fourth quarter, the Sixers were only down by 2, and Aaron McKee misses a 3 that would have given the lead. Instead, goes down the other end. Mo Pete hits a 3. Then the Raptors get a steal at the other end, and Mo hits another 3. And even though it was only an 8-point game with still about 11 minutes to go, it basically kind of sealed the game for the Raptors. And I knew right then and there I fell in love with Mo Pete. And there was actually a second game because it was the following season early on, and I just started playing fantasy basketball for the first time, and I didn't get Mo Pete in the overnight draft. Remember those? You couldn't, you had to sort of, the computer would do the random draft for you overnight. And the next morning, I thought, maybe I can pick him up off waivers. But he wasn't on the waivers. He was on another team. And he came out and started the season well. And he had a 26.5 of 7 threes against the Jazz game. And after that, I was like, right, I've got to get Mo Pete. I've got to go get him. So I swung a 6-player deal to acquire him. And I, And I went back into Yahoo history last night and I found the trade.
Oh my God, yeah. Yes.
So I acquired Mo Pete, Jeff McInnes and Pat Garrity. And I gave up Karl Malone, Stacey Augman and Shannon Anderson.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. Now, you guys know whenever I go to the Hawks and the Raptors games, I've got my Mo Pete jersey. I've got two Mo Pete jerseys. So call me Mo Vernie because I love Mo Pete.
Most episode of the morning. Oh, my God.
17.7 assists in that game. Wow, yeah. 7 assists. You wouldn't expect
you
that.
Would never that.
No. He started off the game really well, and then he kind of went quiet. But that fourth quarter. It was just amazing. And, I love Mo Pete, and I've loved him to this day. And we saw him in Toronto. I can't remember who was it. Trey? Was it Trey? Mm-hmm. Was all four of us there?
Yeah, we were coming back from... doing a show, right?
Yeah.
From a live show, and Morris Peterson was hanging with Bonzi Wells. And who was the third? Was it JYD?
Yeah, JYD was there, Bonzi.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
17.7 assists. Wow, phenomenal. Yeah. Morris Peterson. Now, we took a fantasy question, I believe, last week from my man Rhino Sets, and now we're bringing our own personal fantasy questions or fantasy stories into play. The NBA's got to come back. The NBA absolutely has to come back.
This is one of the rare instances where, because I usually say, no one really cares about your dreams and no one definitely cares about your fantasy basketball team, but that trade breakdown was absolutely incredible. Hearing Pat Garrity thrown into the trade in a 3-for-3 trade.
Was he thrown in? Maybe he was the star of the trade.
Yeah, maybe.
Bringing up the 3-point percentage for sure. But I mean, that's definitely a hint. Don't talk to your friends or family about your fantasy team now. Wait 20 years. People will be into it then.
Yeah. I love that. I can't believe you found it, Lee.
I know. I just thought, I wonder, because I know that Yahoo has your history of your teams in there. And then I just clicked on something and had transactions, and it was there. And I'm like, oh, my God, there it is.
We might have, just stumbled upon a new podcast we have to record. We all go back into our Yahoo Sports fantasy basketball, leagues and see if we can find our best and worst trades.
Yeah.
It could be something.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you said you have two Mo Peterson jerseys. I know you've got a red jersey, and I think the other one you have is a sleeveless t-shirt. Was that bought with sleeves, or did you just decide one day the pythons have got to breathe?
No. I picked it up in Toronto in one of those discount shops. I think Mo was actually in the on the Hornets at this point. but I grabbed it there on the discount rack. But no, I wouldn't take the sleeves off. I wouldn't take them. If it's sleeveless, it's sleeveless. If it's got sleeves, I'm wearing those sleeves.
Yeah, you respect the integrity of a shirt for sure.
I love a jersey as much as a sleeveless. I just, whatever it got.
All right. Well,
I think I've been hugged in that sleeveless shirt by Lee Ellis.
Oh, for sure.
Not a cutoff.
I'll go next. I that's a tough one to follow up. That's a fantastic story there. I'll go with Brandon Jennings, though. You guys, I'm sure, remember. I don't know if the listeners do, but Brandon Jennings going for 55 points in just his 7th NBA game was pretty damn amazing. And I went back and watched the highlights from that game. I had forgotten that he actually started like garbage. He missed his first 3 shots and was benched for the first quarter, like basically the rest of the first quarter. And so he went for 55 in 3 quarters. And he had played really well even up until that 7th game in his NBA career. He was averaging like 21 points per game. The Bucks were playing really, really well too. I think they were 4-2, and then they won this game, went to 5-2. He had dropped 32 against the Nuggets a few nights earlier. But the best part is he dropped 55 against his fellow rookie, Steph Curry. He just was a cool basketball player. Just had the way he moved was really neat, and like sort of Van Exel-like, I think, a little bit. So, I was all in. A guy drops 55 as a rookie, and the way he plays, I was like, hell yeah, this is awesome. And, that was maybe his apex in his NBA career. Had some, spot minutes here, spot moments here or there. But one other thing I found, I can't remember if we've done this before. Do you know Jennings' Basketball Reference nickname? Does anybody remember or know it? Because I sure as hell never saw this. The Pterodactyl.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what? I don't ever remember him being called that. But there it is on basketball.
Too bad the Raptors never signed him.
Yeah, right.
When was the last time you saw the Brandon Jennings highlights? Do you remember?
What do you mean?
Like just that game, because I remember what stood out to me from that game is how the Warriors are just not playing any defense at all.
Oh, yeah, no, I just watched it, like, yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you remember?
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were setting me up for some weird, like, office joke or something.
No.
I'm David Brent joke you were going to get me with.
No, because I remember that game as well. I watched highlights of it, I don't know, you know, not too long ago, I guess, right. And it's just like, I just remembered, like, the Warriors are just standing around watching him just jack up all these threes.
I mean, he hit a ton of threes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He caught fire.
Yeah. I'll throw mine in here. It has a Raptors tie as well, not Morris Peterson, but Terrence Ross scored 51 mm-hmm. points as a member of the Toronto Raptors. Terrence Ross. And he could do that again. He's coming off the bench for the Orlando Magic. He's just outside of the sixth man of the year talk. He's been great in his role. He hasn't started a game the last two seasons coming off the bench for the Magic, but he's averaging 15 points per game. Yeah. He's perfect in that role. And I think he's found his spot in the NBA. And who knows? Orlando could go to the playoffs on that guy's back, perhaps. He is it's perfect for him, and I can see why he scored 51, because he can get hot. I don't think he'll ever get 7 assists like Morris Peterson did that day. He's a fireball. But, you know, I want to comment on the Kevin Love thingamajig there with the 30-30. Thick Kevin Love, there's a lot of people out there who are saying on Twitter after Lee was talking about skinny Jokic that Kevin Love was better in Minnesota when he was chubby. He was better. I mean, even like a Raptor like Chris Bosh, his numbers were better when he was solo. But, you know, he got skinny and then was able to win a championship, even though he was
and
subbed
was
in for
really
Richard
good.
Jefferson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was still very good. When he got his 30s and 30s, that convinced LeBron to say, let's give up our number one pick and I'll come back to Cleveland. Because in 2014, when Kevin Love was also kind of ready to leave Minnesota, LeBron had just timed out with LeBron going back to Cleveland, but he needed somebody to come along, and he saw the thick Kevin Love scoring points, so that helped him go back to Cleveland. They traded Wiggins for Kevin Love, but then skinny Love got the championship, even though Richard Jefferson subbed in for him. Skinny K-Love was still pretty good, and he's on the downside of his career, I guess, and in his 30s here, but still can get a 30 for 30. That's
yeah,
point.
Thick Kev started getting skinny, turning into skinny Kev in Minnesota too.
Definitely.
That's the part that's like, you know, sort of forgotten here in this email. It wasn't just when he went to Cleveland where suddenly he was this skinny dude. That was happening in Minnesota. He was just huge at the beginning of his career, yeah.
And if it comes to Game 7 of the NBA Finals and you're guarding Steph Curry, trust me, you're going to want skinny Kevin Love out there, not the rookie Kevin Love blubbering his way all around at the top of the key. For me, a guy that I invested too much in after a single game was Anthony Morrow. He had 37 in his first career start as an undrafted rookie. He had 25 the next game. I'm like, this guy is going to be incredible. We're looking at the new Vashawn Leonard here, people. He led the NBA in three-point percentage his rookie year. And so every time a team would sign him, I'd be like, oh my goodness, they got Anthony Morrow. This is really going to help. This guy is a knockdown shooter. And he was a great shooter, but basically every team would put him out there. And if he wasn't making threes, he was giving up a whole bunch of points on the other end of the court. But he ended up having a long career. He was a fine player, but you know, he never reached that vaunted Vashawn Leonard status.
No. That's a hell of a benchmark to reach, for sure. All right, our next one here. This one's really for you, Trey. This is a good one. Hey, howdy, hi, no young bucks. I've been spending a lot of time in lockdown doing some online shopping. As I'm a basketball fan, a lot of what draws my interest is 90s championship items, including merch from all six of the Bulls championships. Every time a piece comes up, I assess whether or not I could justify buying that particular year's merch. For instance, oh, it's their first title, or oh, it's their last title. And I sort of realized, who in the world's favorite Bulls championship would be either the second or the fifth ones? Do people really care about those particular titles? So the question is, which 90s Bulls championship do you care about the least? Turned it in, messed around, failed them. That's from Sam. A little twist to this question. Not your favorite 90s Bulls championship, the one you care about the least. What do you think, Trey?
Well, Sam pretty much nailed it. The second and the fifth titles are the ones that get overlooked, probably just because they're in the middle of both three-peats. The advantage that the second title has over the fifth one is that the 1992 Bulls might be the best Bulls team that existed during this eight-year run that they had. You know, Michael Jordan was pretty much at his physical peak. They had just come off of the first championship where he had kind of ascended to widely recognized as the best player in the league status, and they were ready to take over. They were just at their peak in 1992. So for me, if I'm looking at each title, it goes 91, very awesome. It was the first one. 92, that's the best team. 93 for me, that's probably my favorite of all of these championship teams. 96 is the greatest. 98 is the last. 97, what do you say? 69 wins? Nice.
Nice.
And it's pretty nice. Funny, too. The one thing that is very notable about the 1997 season, even as we saw in The Last Dance, they kind of skipped over 97 season except for the flu game, which we have now found out is the poison pizza game. So,
yeah.
I don't know. For me, it is probably between 92 and 97, but 92. The team is so good, and I mean, it's not like 97 is a bad team. That's the second most wins the Bulls ever had in a season, but it definitely gets lost, and I think it's probably a little bit because they played the Jazz in the 97 finals and then again in the 98 finals.
Mm. That is wild, you just saying that out loud. I had to be reminded. They won 69 games, nice, mm-hmm. the year after 72 wins. And you're mm-hmm. right, it's like...
And it came down to the very last game, too. I think Pippen had a three-pointer in the last game of the season to beat the Knicks. They were down by two, and Pippen missed like a last-second three-pointer that would have given them 70 wins, would have tied the record for a home 40-1 record, but just rimmed out.
Yeah, wow, that's wild.
All right, next one here. Evening, gentlemen. Longtime fan. Got a who says no for you guys. A base deal of John Collins from the Hawks for Lauri Markkanen of the Bulls. It gives the Hawks another offensive option and spacing with Capella in the lane. If Markkanen wants out of Chicago, gives the Bulls a different high upside big. Maybe the Hawks don't want to pay Collins and think Markkanen's fit would be better. Thanks for keeping the pods coming. That is from Chris. Interesting question, Chris. It's the couple 2017 draftees here. Markkanen 7th, Collins 19th. So both up for a big extension potentially this coming off season, 3 years in the league, averaged about the same points per game their second year, 19 points per game, but then Collins skyrocketed in year three, went up to around 22, and Markkanen went down. So everybody's stock of Collins is probably higher than Lauri Markkanen because of that year three, but I think both teams say no. Now, you guys might disagree, but I think the Hawks say no because they want to see what they have. Trae Young loves playing with John Collins. Collins just had his best year. It's kind of understandable why you'd say no. But on the Bulls side, I think they would still say, hey, you know what? His value isn't as low. Maybe we can sneak in a bit of a lower extension right now, coming off that ho-hum year under Jim Boylan. And I don't think they've seen a ceiling. They want to see what they have. He's a seven-footer. He is bigger than John Collins. I think he's a better defender than John Collins. And he just had a bit of a ho-hum year. I think they want to see what this number seven pick has. Coming off, again, a bad year with Jim Boylan, but the year before, he was showing what he had. So I don't know if you guys agree, but I'm saying both would say no at this point.
Yeah, it's a tough one with Markkanen because I think he needs a change of scenery because I think he's a good, talented player, but he's in a bad situation under a bad coach there in Chicago. But I think if you're the Hawks, I don't think you pull the trigger either on this deal. I think you want to see what you have in John Collins. John Collins, if he can spread the floor a little bit and become a better defender, then I think you want to hang on to him because he and Trae have got some good chemistry right now. And Lowry is going to be more a floor spreader. I don't think he's going to be the guy who bangs inside as much. So it is a bit of sort of, you know, it's they're similar, you know, they've both got a lot of potential, but you need to sort of see a little bit more of it first. If I'm the Hawks, again, based on just what we've seen so far, I would hang on to Collins. Is he going to get the max? Maybe, maybe not. But with Markkanen, there's just a little bit of a question mark as to whether or not he has got the wrong environment and if someone else can get the best out of him or if he's just maybe not that good. I mean, I'm a little torn. I like him, but I think we need to just see him in a different team. But I certainly, if I'm the Hawks, I wouldn't give up John Collins for him right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you guys. I would be thrilled if the Bulls could get John Collins for Lauri Markkanen, which makes me think that the Hawks probably wouldn't want to do it. The Bulls would be getting the best player today in the trade if Collins were to go to Chicago. And Lauri Markkanen has had a little bit of trouble staying on the court early in his career, but if you're Travis Schlenk, you can at least make the pitch of saying, here's a guy with a little bit more perimeter-based game. You know, Trae Young and Clint Capella will be running the pick and roll a little bit more this year. You can see the fit there if you're the Hawks. But like Tass is saying, I'm sure the Bulls are hoping that Markkanen's ceiling is higher. You know, I think it wouldn't be outlandish to believe that John Collins has reached his potential. He's a really solid player, and he's, I think, better than most people expected coming out of college, whereas Markkanen, you see him, and you just hope that a coaching change could get him to reach his potential just like Collins has.
Yep. I think you guys knocked that one out of the park. I agree. It's a tough one. I'm like, just even looking at this long term, I'm like, who has a better career? John Collins or Lauri Markkanen? Like, but at the end of it all, you know, 15, 20 years from now, I have no idea. I mean, you could convince me either one of them. Either like laps the other one in terms of like success and all-star and all NBAs and whatever success going deep in the playoffs. For either of them, I have no clue, because I do like both of them as players and the potential within both of them to reach you know, pretty incredible heights. So yeah, it's a tough one. Collins for Lauri Markkanen. Let's hear from you guys out there. Let us know on Twitter at No Dunks Inc. Next one. Hey, No Jams. After listening to your podcast about fan cutouts in Orlando, I've finally solved how to replicate home court advantage. Let's say it's Raptors Nets in the first round. For games 1, 2, 5, and 7, all the cutouts will have Raptors shirts. For games 3, 4, and 6, they'll have Nets shirts. You could do this for every series except a Lakers-Clippers conference finals, where the Clippers home games would have to be 70% Lakers shirts. Hi-oh! That's from Ryan in Toronto. Basically, what Ryan is pitching here is a bunch of Lee Ellis's in the stands. Those are the cutouts. They just flip back and forth between the home court advantage here. I mean, people have a lot of opinions about cardboard cutouts, is what I've come to learn. And this is why we included it. I'm sort of amazed how much the fans think any of this matters to the players. I don't think it matters a lick. I don't think they care at all. We'll notice it all. Like, it's not going to, because somebody's wearing a Mo Pete jersey for, you know, this cardboard cutout, it's not going to affect, you know, Joe Harris's 3-point shooting. I'm sorry. That's just not the way it's going to go. But Lee, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it's economical if you just have the guy who can basically just twist around, you know, for one game. Yeah. Then he's cheering on the other team. But it's funny you mention it. Like, I'm the same. People have got so much to talk about with these cardboard cutouts, as if we're going to care about those after the first couple of days. Once games are back, no one's going to care at all. Yeah. We just want to see the basketball. So, but yeah, I mean, he's basically just throwing in a little Lakers Clippers gag there as well. He wanted to get that one off. But yeah, I don't know what the NBA should do, but if I was them, this would certainly be low on the list of priorities to get ready before the game start.
You can like see it now too. There would be a controversy where like they forgot to put the Net shirts on the cardboard cutouts for game 3, and like the Raptors had an advantage. Yeah. Oh man, I can see the headlines now. Yeah.
They got to hire somebody to sit behind the baskets with the cardboard cutouts to move them back and forth very quickly when the opposing team is shooting free throws.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, keep the emails coming about the cardboard cutouts. We do enjoy them, as silly as they might be.
Hey, it sounds like a good idea to me. Get those colors in there for the home teams. Get the opposing ones in there. You know what I like is that if you do zoom out and you do see the quote-unquote fans, at least the colors will be right. I think it'll just help. I don't care about the in-game experience, but I do like seeing those colors. You know, when you see a playoff game, and they've got the striped sections of the team's colors, it looks great on television. I think the colors will look good on TV if they get it right. If they get a nice solid printer, not some cheap printer that, you know, it's got a fade on those blacks. I want a nice midnight Brooklyn Net black on those jerseys.
And why don't we just virtually add the fans then? We don't need these cardboard cutouts. If you're just worried about the television experience watching it at home, then yeah, put them in virtually.
Have you seen the Bundesliga games? I guess not.
They're great. I haven't.
They're great. They're so good. Actually, the next topic that people like talk about is the piping in of the crowd noise. And there was a Wall Street Journal article saying that people are generally liking the piping in of noise coming through their broadcasts, coming through the television. And it's not that they just pipe in, forgive me, JD, but you know what we do for Say What, where we just throw in a bed track, a basketball bed track, but they throw in the pre-recorded sound from a previous game. And it sounds, even sometimes the previous game that those two teams played, and it sounds really, really real, and it sounds good. And I think it does add something
to
the television experience.
We already talked about this. I'm definitely in team audio camp being more important to the television product. I think it really, really is. So I could see that adding a lot to the experience. I care less about a cardboard cutout. But yeah, I mean, we talked about the announcers and all that, and if they're going to be there and if they can keep up the energy and piping in that stuff. It's weird when it's dead, just dead sounding. It just takes away from the game, oddly enough. So yeah, maybe that's something they'll do if they're 2K noises or not, I guess, or previously recorded noises. I don't know.
Hey, LeBron said he doesn't want to play in an arena with no fans. I think after this, he's going to say, I don't want to play in an arena without cardboard cutouts. They just add something to my game.
Maybe.
Next one here. Hello, Podunks. I'm watching a highlight reel of underrated plays from the past couple seasons, and I was pleasantly surprised to see Ben McLemore make the reel. I honestly hadn't realized he's still in the league and putting up decent numbers. When he was drafted, I swore he was going to be what De'Aaron Fox is now, but has since faded into just being all right. He plays for the Houston Rockets, by the way, if you didn't know. Ben McLemore. My question, rather than naming underrated players, who are your most favorite average players from the past or present? Yeah, think of the average players.
Wow.
That's from Phil in Des Plaines, Illinois.
Yeah, shout out to Des Plaines. Hopefully the flooding of the river is under control there. I know it was pretty bad about a month ago. The river there always floods. That's why it's called Des Plaines. Anyways, if you're talking about average players, there's a couple of qualities you need. You want more from the player when you have them on your team, but you're still happy to have them. They're going to have some star flashes where they have really huge games, but they're also going to have some games where you're like, where is this guy? Mm-hmm. But most important to me, a boring, boring name. You got to have a boring name for this. So I've got a current guy and a former guy who I was thrilled to see when I looked up on Basketball Reference. Both had career PERs of 15, the definition of average. Here are your players, George Hill, Joe Smith.
Those are both good. I'm going to throw in a Gary Harris, too.
There you go.
He's got a PER career 13.1, but I think he fits your criteria there.
That's
perfect,
right,
Trey. Yeah, those are good. Those are really good. George Hill, Joe Smith, and Gary Harris.
I don't have this guy's PER, but Ryan Anderson basically was pretty average. All he would do was shoot threes, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
He was terrible as a defender. Couldn't really rebound, couldn't really do anything, but man, he could light it up every now and again. And you'd see those games where he'd just go for 35, hit 7 or 8 threes, and he'd look great, but man, he did nothing else on the court.
A career PER of 16.5 for Ryan
perfect.
Anderson.
There perfect. You go. He's got the name, he's got the PER, so he fits right in there.
He did win an award, though. Does that disqualify him?
Most improved, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was that what he won? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll throw in a couple. Evan Turner, I think, is Mr. Solid Average. Just does everything okay. But he can do it. He can do everything. And Brandon Bass, another one. Not too tall. Plays the mid-range. Can't get out too far from the hoop. But does everything solid.
I'll tell you right now, a lot of those names have been in some fantasy basketball trades.
Oh, yeah.
Thrown in to sweeten the pot a little bit. All right, I'll throw in a Joe Smith. I'll give you a Ryan Anderson. You want some three-point shooting on your team?
Oh, if you want to talk fantasy players like that, that's a Marcus Fizer right there and a Lawrence Funderburk.
Loy Vaught.
Oh, yeah.
Way back in the day. All right, next one here. Hey, all Thrunks. Blake Griffin's career has been quite unexpected and turbulent, with many ups and downs. But what is really striking is how his reputation and persona has appeared to change in his two different teams. When he was in LA, he was known for his high-flying dunks and Showtime highlights, indicative for Hollywood. Now in Detroit, he is doing more of a working man's game, mostly below the rim and accomplished through grit and determination rather than flash, indicative of the blue-collar Midwest. Of course, this is due to his deteriorating health and age, but I also find it fascinating how the on-court realignment reflected the off-court setting. Can you think of any other players whose reputation changed dramatically in a way that aligned with a change of teams and or cities? That interesting question is from Ben Lee. Did somebody come to mind?
Yeah, well, so when I think of the grit and grind Grizzlies, there's four players that pop out. Mark Gasol, Mike Conley, Tony Allen, and Zach Randolph. And Randolph, Zach, is my answer here, because when he went to Memphis, he kind of had started bouncing around his career already from Portland to the Knicks and the Clippers, and he was a bit of a malcontent that, you know, a guy who could score, but he didn't really seem to fit anywhere. And now I can't think of him as anything other than a Grizzly, really, for his career, because when he went there, he became this lovable member you know, who fit the grit and grind mentality perfectly. You know, he's sort of a soft, gentle guy, but he used to like to get into it as well physically. You know, he like used to use his body to go and score. And that was the thing about his scoring. Like, for a guy who could really not jump, he was an amazing player to be able to go in and get baskets anytime he wanted. A classic dinkers and dumpers guy. So, you know, and there's a couple of moments there where you see him interacting with fans. There's that one with the kid, the Down syndrome kid there, where it's just like your heart melts every time you see it. And I just think that was sort of what summed up Zach, you know, like a tough as nails competitor, but just this gentle, cuddly, lovable guy as well. And he certainly wasn't that when he arrived in Memphis. It was more like, you know, he could end up playing for another five or six different teams before his career was over. But now I think of him totally as a Grizzly.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good one.
Let me ask you one. I don't know where I actually stand on this one. How about when Carmelo Anthony went from Denver to New York? Did his reputation change at all? I mean, he was certainly a rising star when he was with the Nuggets, you know, was leading into the playoffs. I had that great 09 run. And then he goes to New York, where he gets to true superstar status, but was never able really to get a winning team around him, except for a couple of seasons here and there. So I don't know. I mean, did his reputation really change, or was he kind of still the same guy all the way through?
Yeah, that's tough. I think my answer is similar to that too, because I'm not convinced it's great either. Rasheed Wallace sort of was always sort of the same guy, but his reputation, of course, changed. Like, you know, leading the league in techs and all that in Portland, and bouncing around a little, and of course landing then in Detroit and fitting in perfectly with that sort of blue collar again type team. And then it was just like, now it just makes more sense him there, you know, as almost like a pseudo leader. I don't know. Yeah, it's sort of like Carmelo. It's not a great answer, I don't think, but there's a part of it that maybe checks out, you know?
What about Kyle Lowry even for you, Skeety? I mean,
yeah. Yeah. You
know, like he was on his way out, and no one was really going to miss him until that trade got rescinded or fell through. And now he's like, retire his number and give him a statue.
Yeah.
You know, he's loved in Toronto now. And, you know, he didn't want to be there when he first arrived. And but then things turned around for him. So it wasn't sort of straight away, but eventually he got there. And now he's like, he's king of the city, you know?
No, true. And that sort of fits in a city like Toronto, at least with Maple Leaf fans, that they loved like those scrappy guys, like the undersized guys that puts their body on the line, you know, like whatever. I mean, I'm not a hockey genius or anything, like Ty Domi type guy, like whatever. Like the city loves those guys, and that's sort of Lowry is that sort of version in basketball. Yeah,
you know, like he became an All-NBA player, an All-Star, just through his work ethic and his hustle. And
All right, next one here. Good day, no flunks. Today I had myself a Lee Ellis day. I went for a walk in thongs. Double pluggers, Lee. Is that another term for thong sandals?
Yeah, I think that's what they call them in like Sydney and New South Wales around there. In Victoria, we just call them straight up thongs. But you know, the ones where you slide your foot in, there's nothing at the back there, and it's just there's the plug between the big foot and the you know,
yeah, it's a thong sandal.
Yeah,
a flip flop.
Yeah, it's a flip flop. Yeah.
Okay. While wearing a retro jersey, 96 Sonics Detlef Schrempf, I popped a pack of cards and cooked some bacon on the bobby. I'd have bought some ribs off the street, but I couldn't find any. Cheers to you, Lee. You Aussie bloody legend.
Is there a question to this?
Yeah, Aussie bloody legend. My question, if you could live a day in the life of any NBA player, who would it be and why? Crank it up. Love you guts, Ripper. That's from Mick in Tasmania, Australia.
Thanks for sending that in, Uncle Mick. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So in Tasmania, they call thongs or flip-flops pluggers lately.
Yeah. I don't know. There we go.
Well, I'll answer this first. Yeah, if you could live the day in the life of an NBA player, I want to fly, guys. I just would love to be able to, you know, jump 40 inches in the air and throw down. So I want a guy that looks like he's just walking on air. And that's, to me, in the league currently, no one looks as cool and appears at times to jump higher than Derrick Jones Jr. So I would want to be him for a day and just be able to dunk like crazy and jump over people and, you know, catch lobs off the glass and go between my legs and stuff like that. That's, you know, you could pick a guy that's like a sharpshooter like Steph Curry. You can pick you go a million different ways with this one, but I want to be able to soar. Give me Derrick Jones Jr. Give me Airplane Jones.
I'd want to be Nick Young. You remember Swaggy Pete? That guy just doesn't give a shit. He is just so carefree. Even this week, he's looking for an NBA job. There's a video of him practicing shooting because he's ready to be picked up, and teams can pick up guys who weren't on a team this season, like Nick Young, for Orlando. So he's firing away in this video, and he's wearing these big baggy shorts. They sort of look like Zuba shorts. They're not basketball shorts. They've got pockets. It's pretty clear. The guy's performing for a job, and he's performing in these shorts that belong nowhere near a basketball court. But that's how Nick Young rolls. And he's going to get a job because of it, because he's so confident in his shorts wearing and his shot-making ability. And he was banging him home, too. I think somebody will pick him up just to have him on their bench.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, Nick Young was a talented player. He's 35 years old now, but we've got these expanded rosters for the Orlando restart. You wonder what kind of players that, you know, have kind of been on the fringes of the league will get pulled back in just to be available for these extra games.
Wow, he's 35. I thought he was a lot younger just because he's so youthful and jubilant.
He's youthful, yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Who you guys got? Lee?
Well, along the same sort of lines there as Nick Young, a guy who really doesn't seem to get too worked up over it, is Steven Adams. I think he'd be great to be for a day because, you know, like right now, he actually seems happy and content and enjoys life and nobody else does. And he just seems to be pretty chilled about everything, you know, like he had a good couple of runs there with the Thunder and they're back in contention again this year. And he just seems to me the sort of guy who doesn't really get too bothered by too much. And
Lee, that is you now. You basically are Steven Adams.
So you're like, right. I want to grow 11 inches? That's all you're saying?
Yeah. You are Steven Adams, mate.
Well, that's a compliment. I love Stevie. I think he's great, you know?
But you don't seem stressed out to me, man. Like,
everyone's got a little bit of
stress. You're double pluggers and you're cooking some bacon on the Barbie. I guarantee you Steven Adams is doing the same thing.
I know. I wonder if he went back to New Zealand or if he stayed in Oklahoma City while the shutdown was on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What about you, Trey?
Boban, for sure.
Oh, interesting.
You're the modern-day Andre the Giant. Everything you do would be awesome. Like, going swimming as Boban, awesome. Going hiking through the woods as Boban, that'd be awesome. Seeing what you can fit in, seeing what you can reach. The guy's 7'4", 300 pounds. Andre the Giant wasn't even 7'4", but he was listed at 7'4". You're the real Andre the Giant.
Well, I was going to say, flying as Boban, maybe not as awesome.
Yeah, that's true. I would like to have a local day as Boban.
All right, good answers, guys. We got a lot more questions still to tackle here, but before we do, a quick word from our sponsors.
Routines. We all have them. We all need them. It's what keeps us on track, like a balanced beam of life. One of the most important routines is our personal hygiene practice. Shower, wash, scrub, and rinse. It's a staple. And for some, a post-shower facial moisturizer too. Our buying routine is pretty repetitive as most of us are brand loyal. That's why I'm recommending you add Hawthorne to the mix. Hawthorne has a variety of products for all your grooming needs. Hair a bit smelly? Try the shampoo tray. Face need a scrub, skeetsy? Well, there's a cleanser for that. And of course, there's a sweet deodorant that will have you smelling fresh and fabulous like Tassie all day long. If you're not sure what products are right for you, go online and take the 2-minute quiz at Hawthorne and we will recommend which colognes are best for you. One for work and one for play. You've got nothing to lose because Hawthorne offers free shipping and free returns if you don't like the products. Check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E and .co, not .com. Hawthorne.co and use the promo code NODUNKS to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co and use promo code NODUNKS to get 10% off your first purchase. Hawthorne.co.
People have to wait around 29 days to see a doctor in major U.S. cities, basically a month. If you're dealing with a condition like erectile dysfunction, you want treatment ASAP. That's why our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of home. Roman makes it convenient to get the treatment you need on your schedule. Just grab your phone or computer, complete a free online visit, and you'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. And if the doctor decides that treatment is right for you, Roman's Pharmacy can ship your medication to you with free 2-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan. With Roman, there are no commitments and you can cancel anytime. So if you're struggling with ED, go to getroman.com/nodunks for a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's getroman.com/nodunks for a free online visit and free 2-day shipping.
Hey, we did it, guys. We're halfway through beach stepping. We're halfway home, baby. Woo! Here's the thing, though. I'm already thinking about tomorrow's show. But you know what? I'm going to take my Sunday scaries today. That's right. I got them right here. Here we go. Let's fish one out here. What do we got? Ooh, orange. All right. Mmm. Oh, yeah. Sunday scaries. They're specially formulated CBD gummies with vitamins D3 and B12 that are super consumable, as you can hear. Mmm. And easy to take on the go. They can help in all sorts of ways, but right now, I just want to quiet my mind. Get 25% off your first order with the code NODUNKS at SundayScaries.com. That's 25% off your first order at SundayScaries.com and enter code NODUNKS where it asks for a coupon on the checkout page. Find out what products might be best for you, so go to SundayScaries.com and use code NODUNKS.
How you feeling, JD? You feeling good? Are you feeling chilled?
I feel relaxed. I'm chilled out, man. It's going to be great.
Can't wait.
Okay, next one. Hey, No Dunks gang. Firstly, thank you so much for keeping the podcast going during the pandemic. It keeps my walks to and from work interesting. Secondly, I'm from England. Here, football, also known as soccer, reigns supreme, and basketball really is a minor sport. Due to time differences, it can be tough to catch NBA games. I've been following basketball for about 4 years now, and the team I chose to support is the Detroit Pistons because I'm a big fan of Blake Griffin. A few of my friends have started following basketball after watching The Last Dance, so the next natural step is for them to pick a team to try and follow. My question, what would your criteria be to picking a new team, and who would it be? Keep it classy, crew. That is from Connor, all the way over in England. Tass, what do you think? We get this question, you know, frequently about I'm new to the sport or why should I or how do I pick a team. What do you think for Connor's buddies here?
Well, I'm going to tell you who to pick right now. Changes every year. You pick somebody that's a team that's bad. Very important. You want a team on the upswing. You don't want to be a front runner. Pick the Minnesota Timberwolves right now. And after going through the Delete Eight, the teams that aren't going to Orlando, with Dan Devine on our pod a few days ago, he convinced me of this. You also want a team that's not a storied franchise. You know, you can be the hipster basketball fan. You can be there when it's, you know, not as pristine or as rewarding as having gone through all these championships. So get them on the ground level. But it's also a fun team to watch. Their offense is going to be incredible. I forgot some of the numbers that they put up with D'Angelo Russell on the floor, adding Karl Anthony Towns when he's healthy, and Malik Beasley. It's going to be a fun watch, especially because they've got a great broadcast crew, Dave Benz and Jim Peterson on the mic. And I think they could get good very soon with Gerson Rosas. He's got a vision in the front office. I think they've got all the components for a new fan to jump on board.
Yeah, no, I think you want to pick a team that you know is consistently sort of close without being like a total bandwagon team. And they've got a star right now. That's the Portland Trail Blazers. They've always got really cool uniforms. They've always got a really cool court. They're an easy team to cheer for. And again, they're not like, you know, you're not going to be jumping on them where they're just about to win a championship. There could be some lean years ahead as well. But I think the Blazers are always competitive and just a fun team to cheer for. So that would be the team that I would pick.
For me, you just need to choose who you like better between Zion Williamson and Luka Doncic. If you like Zion, be a Pelicans fan. If you like Luka, you're a Mavericks fan. They're both going to be superstars. Both of their teams are solid, but not great. You're still going to be early. They're still on the upswing, and you're getting in while they're young. You're going to be happy if you choose either of those guys.
I would throw one more name and team into what you're saying there, Trey. Throw Ja Morant in the mix, too. Maybe you're a Ja Morant fan, and then you could get on the Grizzlies bandwagon right now. But I like that idea. Zion, Luka, or Ja? Yeah, you can't go wrong. You're going to be a fan of one of those guys? Look, you're set. So good luck, Connor. Let us know who your buddies end up picking. Next question.
Hey, No Chunks. With respect to the semi-pro puke cut, it's from our film session episode a couple weeks ago, I recently got a job at a hardware store. For confidentiality's sake, we'll make up a name and call it Chrome Depot. During my shift the other day, I made a real boneheaded rookie mistake involving a bunch of concrete powder. Again, for confidentiality's sake, we'll leave it at that. When's the time you guys have made or witnessed a major rookie mistake, basketball related or otherwise? Earn up, buy some ties, wash them. That's from Chris. Skeets, have you ever made or witnessed a major rookie mistake?
I'll just go with rookie mistakes I've made. Yeah, I've witnessed some, but I'll just go with ones I've made. I think I've told a lot of these stories before on the podcast, so I'll keep it super quick. Three came to mind, rookie mistakes. My first All-Star weekend didn't go well trying to get there because I was an idiot and I missed my connection flight in Charlotte because I needed a power outlet to do some work on my computer, so I went down a couple gates. You know, I thought I would stroll up 5 minutes before the connection flight, and when I did, they had already taken off, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, you guys actually leave early? They're like, yeah, we made the call. You didn't come. I was like, oh my God. So that one, I've told that story a long time ago. Second one, probably my first Boston Marathon, for sure, was a rookie mistake, and that's what a lot of people say it's going to be. You're going to go out way too fast, because it's a good downhill for the first part of it, and then you start hitting the heartbreak hills and all that, and kick the snot out of me. So I will be hopefully better prepared if I ever get a chance to run the Boston Marathon again. And then the last one I shared not too long ago, my first attempt at making bacon on the barbecue, Lee. absolutely brutal. I left it for 5 seconds. I went inside to grab something, and then sure enough, it was my barbecue was in flames. So those three things, again, all stories already shared. Those are all rookie mistakes. Ugh, the worst. What about you guys?
I'll throw something in here because something was on flames for me as well. I threw a bag of popcorn into the microwave on top of the plastic cover shield thing. I mean, if the plastic cover shield thing is going to light on fire, what's it in there for anyways? Just get it out of there. Yeah, so it lit on fire because it was a little too long in there. The old, you leave it. It's just a strange thing. What's the scientific explanation for that? Because the plastic cover sits in there and it covers whatever you want to cover, but nothing can be touching it? Is that how science works? Or there's a time limit on it? How does it work? You guys explain to me.
How do microwaves work is one of the all-time great questions.
So you're saying, when you first said the popcorn, I was like, oh, you accidentally kept like the plastic wrapper, but you're saying that thing you usually put over food to heat up, like that, the thing that lives in the microwave basically, right? Like, to cover your food. Wow, you had that over the popcorn and that caught fire?
No. It was on the popcorn on top of the plastic cover.
Oh,
just threw it on.
Fascinating. So it's like the heat from the kernels, on that? I don't know. That's weird.
It was a hot bag. It must have been a real hot bag.
I don't know. Colonel Sanders. I have no idea.
I'm going through some microwave troubles right now, too. Nora bought these like really heavy plates. And I don't know what's going on, but we found these new plates. They like blow the fuse on the microwave or like the outlet. There's something in these plates that triggers this, I guess, what appears to be like, or maybe is a crappy microwave where it like shorts out. Yeah. But it doesn't happen with the other plates. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
So microwaves, you're right. How do they work, man?
How do they work? I went to college with a girl whose party trick was, it'd be like 2 a.m. and she would just put a bunch of CDs into the microwave so you could see like flames and sparks shooting off of them. I was like, I don't know if you should be doing this, but it's pretty crazy to watch. It's like when you go to like a science museum and they've got like one of those balls and you touch it and it shoots like the little plasm out towards your fingers and it looks really, really cool and scientific. It was that, but also a little bit terrifying that this is going on in a thing that's supposed to be cooking your food.
Yeah. It's like you might burn down your house doing that.
Yeah.
So we're not recommending throwing
CDs. That would be a rookie mistake. Your CDs don't go in your microwave.
Yeah.
But I released my own puke cut once upon a time in a rookie mistake. It was one of the first times I ever put a dip in. I put in a lot of dip. And for like the first 20 seconds, probably, it was awesome. It was like you smoked 500 cigarettes at the exact same time. And it was just so heavy. And then it turned immediately. I was like, I got to get outside. I got to get outside right now. And then as soon as I did, the floodgates opened. It was disgusting. It was disgusting, as is dipping.
Yeah. Lee?
Well, that would just remind me of the time with Manos and Titos when I tried the bottle bong the first time, and God, I vomited forever after that. Yep, rookie mistake. Sucked rookie way mistakes. Too hard. Way too hard.
JD, you got anything? Any rookie mistakes you've seen?
Oh, man, if there's a mistake to be made, I have made it as a rookie. Actually,
trying to jump on a skateboard?
Oh, yeah, skateboard. Oh, I finally got the longboard and landed right on my ass within 2 minutes of riding it again. So that was great. But I mean, getting the hang of it a little bit. But yeah, our first year, I listened finally to Matt Austin on Phil Chertok's podcast for the Fishbulb. And he was talking about our first year at NBA TV. And that entire year, it was one massive rookie mistake. I mean, you name it, I did it. And the biggest thing, I started calling it getting caught watching the show, because if you're when you're a studio director, you have to keep talking, you have to keep like you know, calling the shots and stuff. And but occasionally I would just start watching the show and not talk, and so I would be stuck on a shot of Trey for, you know, 20 seconds, and then people were like, you're gonna change the shot there, director. And it happened all the time. So yeah,
well, you were just so into our show.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I was entertained.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, especially, I guess those shows don't exist anywhere anymore, though, do they, JD?
Thankfully, right? Not.
What, the first year?
The first year, yeah. For some reason, I guess it never occurred to us to record them, or NBA TV was just like they did us a kindness by just blowing them away, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, and right, that was pre YouTube. Us putting the show up, because those were our shows too. Oh my god, yeah, that's for the best, for sure. For sure. All right, we got one more here. Let's end with this one. Hey, no Dunkaroos, long time listener, first time emailer here. When COVID-19 started, I wanted to do my part, and so a buddy and I created Bag of Bluer, a bag of goodies from small local businesses here on Bloor Street in Toronto. We've been delivering these to our neighbors over the last couple months, and it seems to be helping the businesses get through this tough time. Got two questions. Firstly, I know you have a strong following in the great city of Toronto, so I'm wondering if you can shout us out on No Dunks. www.bagofbluer.ca. There you go. All proceeds go to supporting the businesses, and any leftovers are being donated to a local women's shelter. That's great stuff there. Secondly, where's the first spot, local or not, that you guys are going to go out and eat at when you're able to do that again? Thanks for the podcast. Love the laughs. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome. That's from Nick. Where are you going, Lee, when it's safe to do so here in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, there's obviously a ton of restaurants just up the road from my place. You know, the Persian one, Sufi's. I can't wait to go there. But, you know, like, that'll be easy to do. I'm actually dying to go back to Toronto to hit up Barn Me Boys and Libretto Pizza, because remember, we were supposed to do a show before COVID hit and everyone got quarantined, and I already had basically ordered my duck banh mi from Barn Me Boys. Mentally, I was ready for it, and so I'm still just hankering for that. So that's it. Next time, I don't know when it'll be. It might not be for another year. Who knows? But that's the first place I'm going, and then Libretto on the Danforth for their pizza. That actually, I like the duck pizza there too. Something about ducks in Toronto. I don't know what it is, but. And I'm a vegetarian, so that really doesn't make any sense.
Are you?
A vegetarian that cooks ribs and bacon.
I know. I'm a terrible vegetarian, but I am a vegetarian.
No, you're not. That's not how it works. All right. What about you, Trey?
I'm going to Folk Art on a Friday. No doubt about it. Folk Art Friday has got to come back. They're still open for takeout. We've done it, you know, a couple of times, but it'll be great to be in the local diner.
What's that guy's name? The one guy that we usually get?
Oh, Randy? You're talking about brother.
Oh, brother. Hey, brother. How's it going, brother? I love that guy.
Oh, yeah. It's hot out there, brother. You can take a water whoop for the road.
Thanks, man. Guy's the kindest guy ever.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
All right, Folk Art. JD, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to Toronto as well. Salad King. I love that place.
Wow.
On Yonge Street. I don't know what it is about it. The pad thai there is just one of my favorite things to eat. So, yeah, Salad King, man.
Good.
So sweet and yummy.
Sweet and spicy.
Tass?
Yeah, I'm looking for something spicy, too. I want to go to a restaurant that's also open for takeout, but it just ain't the same. I'm going for a nice hot Korean tofu soup. here in Atlanta. I can't wait. That's good. A little soon do boo. Hopefully that will happen soon do boo, but probably not.
I'm coming at this a little differently. Like, the food you can for the most part still get, like you said, like you can get the delivery, but I want to go to a bar and have a damn drink. Mm-hmm. Especially like, you know, a specialty cocktail, something that like I couldn't whip up at home. So I'm going to go to Kimball House, which you can get great food there as well, but I want to hit the bar at Kimball House and get some damn good drinks, which I'm sure you can get delivered too, but it's just not the same mm-hmm. as sitting at the bar.
They have that like the carafe of old fashions. Have you ever
yes,
got that?
Yes, that's right, JD.
Share it up. I'll meet you there.
All right. Yeah, for sure. See you there in 2021.
I thought you were going to say I'm not too worried about the food. I'm actually a little bit more worried about the amenities. I'm going to Chuck E. Cheese my first meal.
Mm. Play some games?
Mm-hmm. Some games, get in the tubes, hit the slides.
One of these days, guys. One of these days. All right, guys. Thanks so much for this batch of questions. Keep them coming. Email us nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in @nodunksinc. Don't forget to grab yourself a new No Dunks t-shirt at nodunks.com. All proceeds from that new shirt go to Black Lives Matter. So go grab yourself one of those. And for those that have purchased one, thank you so much. I just talked to our teacher company, Fallen Arrows. They got a huge batch to print and deliver and ship. And that is happening very, very soon, he said. He's hoping to get a whole bunch of them out at the end of this week and then early next week too. So just, you know, hang tight there. They are coming. I guarantee you that. Also, guys, oh my God. I lied yesterday about that squad episode. Yep. I said it was coming on Friday. It is not. We are going to bump the squad episode to Monday, okay? New squad episode on Monday. JD, you can go ahead and lock that in. That's coming on Monday because we're going to observe Juneteenth. Tomorrow on Friday, we're going to take the day off. So, new squad on Monday. I promise you, okay? I promise you. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, no squad on Monday. It's canceled. Just
Tass. I already locked it in. It's coming Monday, guys. Embrace the weekend. You could stay.